dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In that battle space, there are a few people who have more acumen, whom I admire and enjoy having the chance to visit with regularly, more than I do our first guest. He is Gordon Chang. You can find his writings in various places, including The Daily Beast and Forbes.com, WorldAffairsJournal.com. He's a regular at Fox. And I'm very happy to say a weekly guest here at Secure Freedom. And he has written a very provocative piece about how Russia and China will test Donald Trump. And I wanted to get his thoughts on that because it's important for the next president to anticipate and for the rest of us to understand what's coming as well. Gordon Chang, as always, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Frank, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, they're heartfelt and warranted, needless to say. Let me ask you about this challenge. You've pointed out that this is not an expected phenomenon. This generally happens to new presidents. Remind us of some of the past instances and why we should be expecting the same this time around.
China challenged George W. Bush April 1st, 2001, the Hainan plane incident. And also President Obama, March 2009 and following months in the South China and Yellow Seas with the harassment of the Impeccable and the Victorious, two unarmed U.S. Navy reconnaissance vessels. With Trump, just in general, they were going to test him anyway. But for Trump, they actually have additional reasons to, because the Chinese economy is fragile. And Trump has actually said some things that could push it over the edge. And I think the Chinese have a real incentive to test him, to defang him quickly, so before he can actually do some damage to China. And so, therefore, I think that there is going to be a challenge to Trump. You know, we all hope that it won't occur. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But we have to be prepared for the worst, because there is a pattern now. And we have to be sure that we can meet whatever Beijing and Moscow throw at us.
And as you've described in our conversations most weeks, Gordon, the probabilities of this increase, given the evident heightened authority and stature and sort of power brokering role of the military in Beijing, quickly describe how that might, in fact, mean that in the South China Sea or the East China Sea or perhaps someplace else, the Chinese military is given its head, and what that might look like in a time of testing for Donald Trump.
Well, the military has become much more of a power broker. This started around 2001, 2002, and we saw a demonstration of this. Hu Jintao, the previous leader, was weak, the weakest Chinese leader by all accounts. He was able to prevent the military from declaring the East China Sea Air Defense Identification Zone. Xi Jinping, he comes into power in 2012, and within a year, they declare the zone, which I think is a demonstration of the increasing power of the military. You know, people can argue that Xi Jinping was going to do this anyway and that the military was pushing on an open door. We don't know, but indeed, the military got its way on something very important. And the reason why we care about air defense identification zones is because the Chinese in the South China Sea are building the infrastructure to declare one there as well. So China is trying to close off its peripheral seas, and we got to do everything possible to make sure that we keep them open, because this is consistent American foreign policy going back to the origins of our country. We defend the global commons.
Gordon Chang, you have described as one of the impetuses for the Chinese to feel the need to defang, as you put it, Donald Trump, is the kind of program that he's espoused, at least on the campaign trail, that Lauder describing as kind of economic warfare. of concern to the Chinese to the extent that it further exacerbates their domestic economic woes and political instability. You've also called, however, for Donald Trump to engage in precisely that kind of policy, and trade war, I think you've described it as, in part, at least, as a means of increasing pressure on the Chinese vis-a-vis North Korea. We'll be talking about the North Korea situation a lot in the course of the program, but just quickly, give us your overview of what you think Donald Trump actually may do in this sphere and why it is important, perhaps, maybe the only good way to deal with the North Korean threat.
The Wall Street Journal reported that the Obama administration told the Trump transition team that North Korea was the U.S. number one priority. And so there have been a lot of commentators saying, and this is actually the dominant narrative, that Trump needs to drop his talk about trade war with China in order to obtain its cooperation on North Korea. Well, that was the policy that's been in place for this century, starting with George W. Bush, who placed much more importance on integrating the Chinese into the international system than disarming North Korea. We have relied on Beijing for North Korea. We're doing that now in the Obama administration. It hasn't worked. North Korea, what we've got with our policies is a much more belligerent Beijing and a nuked-up Kim regime. Now, I'm saying that the way to get Chinese cooperation is to impose costs on China, and I talk about waging a trade war. Notice, not starting one. There already is one, Frank. The Chinese have been waging it against us. We pretend it doesn't exist. So I'm saying that the United States needs to defend itself, and it's not just an economic issue. Right now, it's become a geopolitical one, specifically North Korea, which has the launchers to hit the lower 48 states. Within 4 or so years, they'll be able to mate nukes to them. So this is a threat to us that we need to deal with instead of ignoring it, which we have done during the Obama administration.
Gordon, one of the other pieces of received wisdom these days is that Donald Trump can't possibly scrap the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that President Obama fashioned with a number of nations of the Pacific Rim, lest China fill that void. You are rather skeptical of China's ability to do that. Tell us why, and if they don't, what that might mean for us.
Yeah, but again, many commentators say that China is going to take the lead in regional and global trade because Trump is walking away from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I don't think that's the case. First of all, we got to remember that China is engaging in increasingly predatory trade behavior, and so therefore countries are not going to have the incentive to follow Beijing. But also something more important, and this goes back to the Chinese economy. Last year, China's two-way trade, imports and exports, fell 8.0%. In the first 10 months of this year, imports were down 7.5%, exports down 7.7%. China is just not in a position to take advantage of the vacuum that will be created if Trump indeed does walk away from the TPP. Now, as you know, I'm a TPP supporter because of the geopolitical issues. Also, I think it would be good for our economy. But nonetheless, I'm not in the camp that says the world's going to fall apart. There's going to be an apocalypse if Trump indeed turns his back on it. That ain't going to happen because it's not about us, Frank. It's about China.
Well, and especially, Gordon Chang, as you know, if, as Donald Trump has indicated, he intends to pursue bilateral arrangements with the nations that might otherwise be party to this TPP, it's certainly entirely possible that much of whatever vacuum might be construed there will not, in fact, be in place. Gordon, quickly, we've only got a minute, but you had a very interesting piece at World Affairs Journal about changes on Taiwan that seem to be compounding China's problems in bringing that country to heel.
Yes. Well, the leader of the Kuomintang, which was the former ruling party, went to Beijing, talked about integration of China and Taiwan, the unification of the Chinese state. This is playing very poorly in Taiwan, where about 65% of the people don't think of themselves as Chinese. And matter of fact, only about 3 to 4% identify themselves as Chinese. And so therefore, Beijing is basically lost the cue card on Taiwan. It is moving away from China. We need to support it. And so, therefore, I think that we have an historic opportunity to help ourselves in the South China and East China Seas, because Taiwan is, as Admiral Ernest King said in the 1940s, the cork in the bottle. It still is. It hasn't moved since then.
Gordon Chang, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk with you again soon. Next up, Mark Halperin.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.